Thank you, Ms. Karen. Appreciate that. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. And I want to have you turn, first of all, to Exodus. Exodus chapter 27, verse number 19. Genesis, Exodus 27. Appreciate you all being here this morning. God bless you. Appreciate our visitors being here. And, of course, our folks who are faithful week after week after week. It's good to have them with us as well. And got a couple thoughts here on Anniversary Sunday. Exodus chapter 27. If you want to look at Leviticus chapter 24, put your finger in there as well. You can do that. Right, the first part of the chapter. Exodus 27, Leviticus 24. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Right there back to back. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. All righty. Exodus 27, verse 19. They're giving some instruction on how, quote unquote, to worship and some things they need to do. The Israelites are. And God has quite a few things that are images, pictures, types of things that are yet to come. First, if you went into the tabernacle, was the tent where God was to dwell, but there was a Holy of Holies. There was an outside portion where the congregation could get in, but then there was a Holy of Holies, and inside was the Ark of the Covenant, which was a picture of God, a type of, it wasn't God, but it was a picture of God. And inside that Ark of the Covenant was tables of stone of the Ten Commandments. It had the rod of Aaron that budded, a picture of the Holy Spirit. And then it also had a container of manna, which is a picture of Christ, the bread of life. So you had Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's pictures. There's the table of showbread, and these were in the candle, and all those things were all pictures of things. And today they have something here that happens in the outer part before the Holy of Holies amongst the congregation, if you will. Exodus chapter 27, verse 19 says, "All the vessels of the tabernacle and all the service thereof and all the pins thereof and all the pins of the court shall be of brass." Now, just so you know, and again, we're not going to get into all this, but brass, things that are brazen, were considered a symbol of judgment. Brass was considered a symbol of judgment. And so we're surrounded by problems, if you will, things that need to be judged. You go into this area, there's things, you go out into the world, there's things in the world, all over the world, that needs to be judged, if you will. There's problems out there that need to answer to God. There's judgment out there. And so it says that they should be made of brass. Verse 20, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee," watch, "pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. In the tabernacle of the congregation," the area where the people would come to, not the Holy Holies, but it says, "in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil." Behind the veil was the Holy of Holies, but we're talking about outside the veil, out here in the world, if you will, "which is before the testimony of the ark," tells us what God is. Just talked about a few moments ago. "Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel." So basically he's saying there's supposed to be this light of pure oil beaten, and it burns always outside the veil where the congregation. And it's a statute. This is the rule, if you will. "And for all generations on behalf of the children of Israel." Look in Leviticus 24. You'll see a similar passage here. Leviticus 24, verse 1. Not too far over. And it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying," verse number 2, "Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. This does not stop. It's continual. And he shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. We're going to have a word of prayer. This morning we're going to talk about this topic. It's time to turn up the light. It's time to turn up the light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for your spirit. And Lord, you know that I need your spirit to be able to give to these dear folks the words that you need. We need you to speak to our hearts as I speak to the heads. And Lord, I pray that you'll work in a very great way. You've given us some very good things in the last 13 years. You've blessed in many ways. And yet, Lord, there's greater deeds to be done, greater things to be said, greater works to accomplish. And Lord, it's time for us to spread our wings just a little further. Lord, as old Jabez says, Lord, expand our coasts, enlarge our coasts, that we may be able to have a greater impact on our community. But Lord, we cannot do it without you. But Lord, on the other hand, you cannot do it without us, because you've called us for the ministry of reconciliation. We are to carry the word where the lamp stands. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us here this morning. There may be some people here that have never, they don't know for sure if they died to go to heaven. They've never received Christ as their Savior. Pray that today that they will consider that with all their heart. They'll come to know Christ. But, Lord, there may be some folks who have never considered that they could be of help in someone else coming to know Christ. Maybe never really thought of themselves as ministers within the work of God. There may be some folks who did for a while and they've kind of put themselves on the shelf, and maybe something happened and they felt like they were put on the shelf for a while. Lord, may we get our light out again. May it burn continually. And may it burn with the power of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I pray at your work. We need you here this morning. In Christ's name, amen. On October 5th, 2003, we start a new era at Lighthouse Baptist Church. From that point 13 years ago until this day, our purpose has been to lead as many people as we can to Christ as their Savior and help them and teach them as they learn to observe all things whatsoever that the Lord has commanded us. That's the Great Commission. That's what we're supposed to do. There's a lot of things that Christian organizations can do, and even organizations that call themselves churches can do. But the Great Commission was to give the gospel to every creature. We have nothing if they have not the gospel. We can help them live another day physically and still die at the end of the day and go to hell. Now, I know there's a balance in the ministry. Not only do you lead them to know Christ as Savior, but you've got to teach them to observe all things. That was the Great Commission. We've got to help them grow in Christ, grow in the Word of God. And all those things are possible. We need to be doing the work that God has called us to do. Now, that progress, that process has changed many lives. There's folks in this room that who, if you would ask them, they say, you know what? Life is totally different since somebody from Lighthouse Baptist came and gave us the gospel. And you know what? There's people in this room, maybe from another church, but somebody, somewhere, at some time, gave you the gospel, and you believed Christ as your Savior. And we can get involved in so many things, but we cannot take that for granted. Somebody came in your life and turned on the light. Now, many people, when you turn on the light, may refuse the process, but that doesn't mean that the process is wrong. We've been serving and winning folks to Christ for 13 years, but we've only begun. We're embarking on the next era of our church. God's providing greater facilities for us to incorporate into this ministry here at Carlisle Road in Dover. This little road right here in Dover, where over 10,000 cars go past every day. The need has never been greater. And God has prepared us and placed us here for such a time as this. Our world is falling apart around us. But this is not a time for us to head for the hills. This is not a time for us to withdraw, to retreat. This is not a time to hide our light. This is the time for us to take the shades off the light, set it on a hill, and let the whole world see Jesus like they've never seen him before. God is giving us the opportunity to impact our town and our county and beyond in a greater way than ever. However, buildings do not make a ministry. Facilities are merely tools to be used. We need to be minutemen, ready in a moment's notice to give the reason for the hope that's within us. We need to be first responders, quick to offer salvation to those in the distresses of sin. We are in houses of light that guide to safety. That's what we're to be. Houses of light that guide to safety. Our little slogan there, little logo there we have for our church. It says it's a home for you and a light to the world. That's what Lighthouse Baptist is supposed to be. It is supposed to be a home. You go to the, I've liked lighthouses for years. And in fact, before we came up here, about 6 or 7, 8 years before that, I started collecting lighthouses just because I liked the image of it. And I'd get lighthouses here and lighthouses here. You go to my office, there's lighthouses all over the place. But the image was, this is a place where somebody has set up shop for the purpose of what? Saving lives. Saving people. It is a home. But it's not just a home. It's a place. It's a point where you go out, where you save. You see folks on the rocks. You go get them. Now, the fact is, when we sat down, we changed the name when we first got here 13 years ago. Kind of started over again. And we threw a lot of names up on the board there and a lot of nice names of what to call the church. And somebody had suggested Lighthouse Baptist Church to me, somebody out of town. And so we had asked for suggestions. We threw them up on the board, and a few of us men went through. And I said, well, that one's nice. That's okay. And I threw up Lighthouse Baptist. I said, oh, like that. Now, I liked it, but I didn't put on any kind of special fluff there. I threw it up there, and oh, okay, well, we'll keep that one up there. We had two or three we kept up there. It was all said and done. I said, guys, all right, we've been through everything. Anything else? And I said, no. Well, which one you think? And they said, you know what? We like Lighthouse Baptist Church. And the fact is, I liked Lighthouse Baptist Church. And I, in fact, went home and I told my kids. I said, they said, well, Dad, what do you think we're going to name the church? I said, Lighthouse Baptist Church. And they laughed because they were making fun of me because they were a place to go. You know, you get a lighthouse here and a lighthouse there. And they laughed. No, Dad, really, what do you, I think Lighthouse Baptist Church. And the church voted on that, and that's who we are. And I like it because that's who we are. It's not just a home for us, though. It's a light to the world to shine as far as it can continually. God is giving us the opportunity, but we have to make use of that opportunity. We need compassion to put forth the effort to spare others from being dashed apart on the rocks of this world's destruction. And not only that, make sure they're ready to meet their Savior, their Creator. I got a couple thoughts here that I'm going to give to you this morning. Number one, these are not great, big, deep thoughts. But the problem is we go looking for great, big, deep thoughts and we miss a lot of times the basics. Number one, you ready for this? A lighthouse is only of value if the light is on. The lighthouse is only of value if the light is on. Now, Janet and I, in a couple weeks, are going up to Cape Cod. We've been up there before, and we've gone through lighthouses. And they'll say, well, here's this lighthouse. It's historic, you know, and you can go through it and pay attention and look at it and hear the stories and, you know, and all these kind of things. Of course, we don't use it anymore. But here it is. And you go down the shore a little further, and you come along to another lighthouse, and here it is. It's really nice. And here's the stories, and here's the pictures of what they used to do. Here's a picture of a great rescue from this great tragedy that came by. Of course, we don't use it anymore. And you go down the shore a little further, and there's another lighthouse. And they're all different sizes, all different sorts, different perspectives, different places, and different conditions and situations. But they were all lighthouses that at one time guided people away from the rocks and saved lives. But there they sit. In our passage in Leviticus there, look what it said here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command thy children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn. To cause the lamps to burn. Now watch. There was a time in Israel during the time of the judges, you go back and read it sometime, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Because the Bible says there was no king in Israel. They all did that which was right in their own eyes. And I'll tell you what happened. They had let the light go out. You don't need to turn to it, but you can mark it down in the margin someplace. 1 Samuel 3 says this, and the child Samuel, remember little Samuel and Eli and his boys, Hophni and Phinehas, I mean, it was a mess. But anyway, it says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. That doesn't mean they thought it was great. It means it was so rare. Hardly ever saw it. They would have liked to have seen it, but it was very rare. It says that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. God wasn't talking to him. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. Watch. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. There was a time when the light went out. We weren't hearing from God anymore. Listen, that's what happens sometimes to people. That's what happens sometimes to churches. Listen, there's a lot of churches all over America, all over Europe. Listen, Europe used to be the greatest missions area of the world. I mean, they said more missions than anybody else in the rest of the world. And now you go over there, they are a mission field. And the fact is, we are becoming. We used to be the great mission senders. And now we're a mission field. We've got folks in our area who have no idea who Jesus Christ is. All they know is some kind of byword. Some kind of curse word. They don't know who Jesus is. Because the light has gone out in so many places. They've stopped listening to the word of God. They're busy doing this and busy doing that. We've got to have the word of God. And that's what had happened during that time. The light had gone out. Now, it was supposed to, Eli was the priest. It was his job to make sure the boys kept the light burning. But they had just kind of dropped the ball. The light had not been shining very brightly recently, maybe not at all. And many of the candles have gone out. People are stumbling in the darkness, not knowing of what they stumbled. That's where we're living right now because the lights have gone out. It was that was a dark period in time of history. And right now, it's pretty dark because there is no open vision. We're not hearing the word of God like we're supposed to be hearing. Oh, we're hearing it here. We're hearing it there. But I can't be every place that you can be. Everyone that's near us ought to know and hear the word of God. What good is a light if it's not lit? What good is a lighthouse if the lamp is not lit. You know what it is? It's a museum. It's a relic. It's a spectacle. But it's dead. It's a monument to days gone by, but of no practical value anymore. A lighthouse without a light is just a big, tall structure, empty. You walk in, it's dark, it's cold, cobwebs, it's musty. It's a museum. That's not what a church is supposed to be. Amen. We're not here to be a museum. Amen. We're a rescue center. Amen. And a hospital. Amen. And we must be doing that. If our light is out, we are not accomplishing our call of God. Lighthouse is only of value if the light is on. Number two, the light must burn continually. The light must burn continually. Verse 2 says, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. That light of the shining of God's power, God's Spirit, needs to be shining continually. We cannot allow the lamp to go out. Listen, it burns in good weather. It acts as a guide and a marker. But we need to keep it lit during the storms. That's when it's needed most. You know, when things get tough, a lot of times we run. Can you imagine if the storm came, that's when the light keeper decided, well, I'm not going to stick around here. I'm going back on shore. Now, wait a minute, that's why you're out there. It's good to have you there because, you know, the lighthouse is there during the day. And, you know, they had different marks on them and so forth so that the captains could distinguish which lighthouse was which. That's why they have those different colors and stuff and designs on them. And during the day, they can see where they are because there stands at the right place. But at nighttime, you can't see that. That's when the light has to be lit. But can you imagine if the light keeper decided, well, it's getting rough out here. I'm getting out of it. I'm heading out of here. I'm hightailing out. Well, that's when we need the light. We need to keep it lit during the storms. We need to maintain the light. It needs to be tended to. It needs to be clean. It needs to be working at peak capacity. We don't know when the light is going to be needed. So I stayed up all night and kept that thing going. I didn't see one ship go by. That's all right. Keep the light burning. Keep the light. We don't know when someone's going to come by. Maybe he was coming by and you didn't see him. We need to be ready to give the reason for the hope that's within us at a moment's notice. Listen, It is not for the lighthouse or even the light keeper to decide when to turn on the light. The light is not something we turn on and turn off. This is what a lighthouse is. This is what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be giving out the light all the time, continually. You see, this, well, you know, I turn my light on when I go to church. Or I turn my light on when I'm with so-and-so. I turn my light on with this, but then the rest of the time, I just am I who I am. Turn the light on and keep it burning continually. Number three, the light must be continually refreshed with the pure oil. Verse 2 again. Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. The light must burn on the oil. Now, wait a minute. It's kind of like the burning bush. If the right oil is used, It will continue to burn and yet not be consumed. Years ago, around here there's a bunch of little these steam shows and traction engines. And Kinzer has one, and there's one down here right off of Stoverstown Road, and there's one over in Williams Grove. And I think I'm missing. There's one right out here in Canal Road. They do some of this stuff, and I grew up doing that kind of thing. My dad was into that kind of stuff, and I still boggles my mind. I'm 12 years old, and I'm running a boiler. I mean, making real steam, you know, and burn and running engine and stuff. I wouldn't want a 12-year-old out there doing that in public. But anyway, that's what we did. And I had my little kerosene lamp, you know, and we used the same one every year. Didn't use it that much, but you fill it up with kerosene, and you got the wick, and away you go. And I'd take that down with me. And nighttime, there wasn't any lights out there, and you're burning this, you're keeping the boiler going, you know, and you got your kerosene lamp going and all that kind of stuff. And we used that several years in a row. And the fact is, I never really thought about the oil, the kerosene, in the reservoir. You just turn it on, it's always there, right? I really didn't think about it. We used it for several years. And we had filled it up the first year, and I didn't think about it. Well, I came back, and when I had left it for a little bit, walked away, came back, and my kerosene lamp was sparking, and it was doing all kinds of crazy things, and then it went out. It had burned up the wick. You know why it had burned up the wick? The wick was dry. There was no kerosene. See, the wick only holds the fuel. The wick is not the fuel. The wick is simply holding it in place so that the fire is burning on the kerosene. There's a lot of folks who are trying to be a light and they're just on their own wick. We're not going to burn long that way. See, it's a lot of work doing that. It's hard. It wears on you. That's because we're not putting fresh oil on the wick. We're not keeping the oil there continually. Because you put oil on there, that wick will it'll burn for years and years and years. We started using that kerosene lamp. It had a wick on it that was probably 80 years old. Same old wick. Always a little burn on top. But it had been, and the thing is, it was down into the kerosene. That wick was probably, you know, a foot long. All wound up down in there. Because it was soaking up the power, soaking up the oil, and the oil of the Spirit. The oil is often a symbol of the Spirit of God within the Old Testament here. It's the oil of the Spirit, and that's what we need. We need to be continually attached to Him, the power, so that we have the oil in us doing the work. Otherwise, we're going to burn out. So what do we do? This is what we're out there. Watch me. There's a lot of folks who are not careful. They'll say, I'll go out and be a light to the community at the expense of making sure the oil container's full. Their reservoir gets empty because they're not spending any time with Him. And they're wearing out. We can't just do it on our own, folks. We're not going to be able to do that. We've got to have the oil of the Spirit in us. Listen, and watch this. We are not to have strange fire. It is to be a fire that burns on the pure oil. Listen, people are trying to build churches on a lot of fluff. A lot of stuff. It's not the Ooh Baby Sisters and the Boogie Woogie Boys. It's the Word of God. Now, I know there's different styles of music that's still within the context of good music. I like a little bluegrass once in a while, a little bluegrass gospel. I don't mind that. And there's some things I like. Not to be, but the fact is, I tell you what the music's supposed to do when it's actually going to light. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's what it's for. It doesn't say it's entertaining. Now, it may be entertaining, but that's not the purpose. In fact, if the entertainment gets in the way of the teaching and admonishing, we're in trouble. because we've gone to strange fire. We're doing it in our own way, and the wick's going to burn out, and all of a sudden somebody's going to get hungry and thirsty for the truth again. We need to be filled with the Spirit. In fact, it says it's oil that has come at a cost. It was beaten. It was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We have the power. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We have His indwelling because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It came at a cost. We should not take it lightly. And we should be filled. And in Ephesians, it says, be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That phrase means, be ye being filled. In other words, don't let the reservoir run dry. Because all of a sudden you're going to go up in smoke and you're going to wonder why. Walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Listen, we will let God work in us. Things are different. Things are different. Number four. Not a big, deep thought here. Listen. The light is for others to see. The light is for others to see. It's not there just to look pretty. Now, I want our building to look nice. It's not extravagant. I think we're making it in such a way we want to make it very durable, usable, efficient, but it's not full of a lot of extravagance. I think you're going to walk in and say, this is nice. This is good. It presents us well. It's clean. Usable, very practical and yet pleasant. But the fact is, it's not there just to be seen, but the Word of God is. We've got to, listen, look at verse 3. It says, without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening until the morning before the Lord continually, it shall be a statute forever in your generation. It says it's outside the veil. It's out there where the people are. The light is for the people outside of God's presence. Can we say that? Those out there who need to hear it. Luke 11, 33 says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Matthew 5, 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall be salted. It is hence therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. That's why we put it on a hill. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now we'll say, well, fine, let's make sure the light's lit. But can you imagine if you had a tarp sitting on top of that lighthouse? Oh, the light's lit. Well, good. But it's of no value because nobody can see it. It's not there where somebody can see. It's not doing the job. It's not a light in the darkness. Listen, the light keeper is not going to sit in there and say, well, the light's for us and my family. Us four and no more. That's not what he's talking about. It's for everyone to see. You've got to let it shine. If you don't let it shine, what good is it? Well, then what are we letting shine? The light of God. The Spirit of God. Well, how do you see that? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And then it goes on in Ephesians to say, we have a spirit of rejoicing, a spirit of gratitude, a spirit of submission. You know what he's saying? Be like Christ. Let the Spirit shine. Well, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance. I don't know that guy to work. I've been telling him he needs to get saved. He just won't listen. You're the hard head. Why don't you just get saved? You know what I'm doing? I'm burning a wick. And I'm making sparks. And it's not going to last long. I'm going to get frustrated and leave. But the light hasn't shined yet. It's the light that guides. Number five. The Lord is watching to see if we're keeping it lit. A lighthouse is no good unless the lamp is lit. It needs to be lit on the pure oil, burning continually. It's there for others to see. And the Lord is watching to see if we're keeping it lit. Look at verse 3. It's without the veil, the testimony, the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from evening unto morning before the Lord continually. It should be a statute forever in your generations. We've been given a commission. Mark 16 says, he said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 1:6 says, when they were therefore come together, and they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He says, I'm going to give you the power, the oil, I'm going to turn the light on, and it's going to shine to everybody. Uttermost part of the earth. Number 6. The light is still essential. It was essential then, and it's essential now. He says again at the end of verse 3, he says, it shall be a statute forever in your generations. Plural. It didn't stop in the book of Acts. It didn't stop with the 1930s. It didn't stop with Billy Sunday and D.L. Moody. It didn't stop with the Baptist movement through the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, early 80s. There was a time in our country where the largest church in almost every state of the union was an independent Baptist church. That's the truth. Why? Because they had the light, they went, got the fresh oil, and they burned. But you know what they started doing? Building lighthouses for museums. Lighthouse amusement parks. Lighthouse fun places. And they stopped burning the light. They stopped burning the light of the Word of God, and they stopped connecting to the oil of the Spirit. I've had a lot of folks say, you know, your church kind of old-fashioned, isn't it? Amen. No, it's the way he designed it. Amen. Within our culture, this is what we're supposed to have. You spend a lot of time preaching, don't you? It gets a little bit long sometimes. That's what we're here for, the Word of God. Amen. We're not here to have a picture of the lighthouse. I like this little lighthouse. We first came here. One of our men who does flashing on roofs. Commercial roofs, and he brought this in. He did all this by hand. If you went someplace, you know, one of those places at the gift shop at the lighthouse, it probably cost you $1,500 or more. And that's real nice. But you know, a lot of churches have just taken the time where we've got pictures of what it used to be, visions of what it used to be, but the actual light is no longer lit. Or you keep it in the back room someplace. You only bring it out once in a while to kind of show it around. Oh, here we are. Lighthouse keepers work. On our Lighthouse Kids Club program we have on Wednesday night, we have different characters that mean different things. One of the characters is this little gal who's actually shining the glass on the outside of the light of the lighthouse. You know what her job is? You know what her symbol is? Purity. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. The good works come from him, because in us dwells no good thing. That is, in my flesh dwells no good thing. We've got to keep it clean. It's essential to all generations. Listen, I had some folks who just thrilled to death, the JIM kids over here, and I'm not taking credit for that. The Phillips have kind of hit this up, and I appreciate it. They've been doing it years before they got here. I'm not taking credit for it, but the fact is still a good example of it. And those kids sang last night, and they were a blessing. And those kids come off the streets of York. And some of them aren't getting a whole lot of support at home. The fact is, somebody shined a light in there, and it still works. I started writing a message. In fact, I kind of preached at an RU on Friday night. Don't usually get to do that. Jimmy Smith is our director, and he's recuperating after a gallbladder surgery, which, by the way, went well, and he's doing really well. But anyway, I was preaching, and I start working on this message. I'd like to go down and talk to Mayor Bracey. And she's talking about how many things this violence just has to stop. We're going to do this. We're going to bring awareness of this and bring awareness of that. Why don't we bring awareness to God? Why don't we bring awareness to the Savior? Why don't we let them know that there is hope? We don't have to just kind of gloss over, try to keep their mind busy, try to keep them full of sports activities so they don't have time to hurt each other. But that doesn't change the soul, doesn't change the person. It might change the action for a little while, but it's going to be temporary because they're still who they are. Listen, you can dress up a dog, but it's going to return to his vomit. That's what the Bible says. You could dress up a pig, but they're going to go roll around in the mud all over again once you get them cleaned up. You got to change who they are. Got to regene them. Born again. Make them a new creation in Christ. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You've got to do it with the Word of God. It still works. You've got to let it go. It's not old-fashioned. It's not outdated. The fact that times have changed changes nothing. It's still the same. Number 7. Getting done here. Hold on. The holder of the light must also be pure. The light needs to be from pure oil, but the holder of the light must also be pure. Our buses, bus kids are heading to the buses. They can get out of the way so we can, with all the traffic problem here with the parking, so appreciate that. That's a good little bunch of teenagers coming to the buses, you know that? That's not bad. Look at verse 4. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. The candlestick. That's not the wick. It's not the oil. It's not the flame. It's the holder. That's this organization. That's this group of people. That's the body of Christ. That's this building here. That's the building we're moving. The holder. We need to be pure as we present the light. Ask yourself, are you worthy to present the fire of God? You know how it is that at Christmas time you got these little favorite candlesticks, you know, and this one's pretty, and ones you bring out certain times, you know, and this one this, and you got, you know, we have some we got from when we got married, you know, they're crystal, and you know, you take care of them and they keep them clean, but can you imagine if you get all the crud all over it? Doesn't really, well, you know, I know the flame's still there, but just kind of loses the impact when it's got all this crud all over it, you know. Same thing, we go out there and present the light of God. You say, well, he ought to accept me just like he does, like I am. He does. The way I dress, the way I do this, the way I present myself doesn't change the way he loves me. No, but it does change the way you love him. Does have something to do to show how we love him. We cannot be light if what we're doing is darkness. 1 John 1:6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Luke 11:33 says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth under a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye, therefore when thine eye is single, you got your focus on him, nothing else, thy whole body is also full of light. But when thine eye is evil, it's here and there and yon. It's looking everywhere. It's letting so much stuff in here. It says the body is also full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light, watch. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of life, having no part light, having no part darkness, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. I've talked about this before, but the fact is, we let so much stuff come into our world. We say, well, I'm full of light. I go to church on Sunday. What do you do there between Sunday and Sunday? What are we filling up our mind during the day, during the night? What are we allowing to become part of our lives? Now, within the next few months, we're setting the stage to turn up the light. The world has always had its ways and has always had its path. Proverbs 4:14 says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away, for they sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they've caused some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. In other words, we should have God's way and God's path. Because watch. But the path of the just is the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep thine in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, a perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, eyes single, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all the ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left hand. Remove thy foot from evil. Listen, when many of our nation's lighthouses were built, the strength of the light was counted candle power. Remember that? They don't call it that way, but it's called candle power. And in a dark room, one candle can make incredible difference. In the middle of a storm, in a great expanses of this world, one candle may catch the eye of a few, but it's going to be fairly inefficient. And yet, if we were to light another candle, and another candle, and yet another candle, the darkness will be illuminated and eliminated more and more. Now, since 2003, we have gone from an average of 300 candles a week to an average over from average of 30 candles a week to an average over 300 candles a week now. We could only have so great an effect on the darkness in the early years. Think of the effect that we could have right now. Think of the effect. God is giving us a larger candle stand. A bigger candle stand can hold more candles. But what good are the candles if they're not lit? And they're not out there in the congregation of the heathen, if not out there amongst the people burning. We are to be a light on a hill. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. In other words, if we live by the word of God, we will be seen as a light in the darkness. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. God didn't save us and indwell us with the Holy Spirit, there's the light and the candle, so we could be hidden. He put the light in us to be seen. And we are to lift up Jesus Christ, who is the light. And if he will be lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself. You heard it this morning. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to him. For Jesus is the lighthouse. And from the rocks of sin. Listen, he's out there. He's the light. He's the one. Now watch. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. We cannot throw out the law and the righteousness and think that the light is being seen. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now let me say just one more thing here. And you know what folks are going to say? But our nice little clean lighthouse is going to get all dirty and sandy and worn around the edges. Yep. Again, you go walk in some of those old lighthouses, and they have scuff marks and scars, and they've painted over it, and the steps going up are worn. But if it saved one life, it was worth it. But just think if it could save hundreds of lives. We're supposed to go out and compel them to come in. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant Lord of the Lord said, it's done as thou hast commanded, yet there's room. Go out in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. It's time to turn up the light. It's our duty. It should be our desire. That is, we have a heart for the Master. Building this building is not the culmination, but the commencement of a greater work. We have a responsibility. You as individuals and as God's children, we have a duty to let His light so shine. We cannot neglect keeping the light. That means we need to be living in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be living in accordance to the law of God. We need to have the fruit of the Spirit. We need to be giving out the gospel. That almost should have to go unsaid. Give them the word of truth. Now, I'll be honest with you, probably some of you probably just wish if I let this dog lie. But the fact is, His word will not change, and so it's still there, and so we still need to do what we were called to do continually for all generations. We are to keep the light burning continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. It doesn't change. Sounds like work. But if you keep the oil burning and not you, it'll be all right. Be surprised how long you can burn, how bright you can burn. It's interesting. When I ran out of the kerosene, the wick started to spark. You get a lot of sparks in churches too when the oil's not the one that's burning. You get a lot of sparks. You got sparks going on, it's the wrong oil. Something's not doing His job. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, for speaking to us here this morning. Our heads are bowed and our eyes.